Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
There was a man sent from God, and the Lord named him John. He prepared the way of the Lord and make his path straight. In all of the people around Judea and Jerusalem, went out to the wilderness to be baptized by John in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So this man sent from God, he brought the knowledge of salvation to God's people. He brought the message of God's kingdom. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is now within your reach. And believe in the one comes after me, for he is much greater than I am." Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He'll baptize in the Holy Spirit and in fire. His sandal straps I am unworthy to untie. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is now within your reach. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is now within your reach."
For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning the matters which have been established among us, even as they delivered them to us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the image of God, the Logon of God, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from above, to write to you in order, excellent lover of God, Theophilus, that you might know the certainty concerning the image of Christ, the Logon, wherein thou wast instructed. We are in the book of Luke. We're in chapter 1. That was verses 1 through 4. I hope you have your Bible open. And what we have begun to do in the beginning of this, back in show 400, about 80 84 shows, 83 shows ago, we were testing not a theory, but something that Ivan Pannon, a Bible scholar who knew far more about the technical aspects of both the Greek and the Hebrew, far above any Bible college today, far above normal man today. He was Einstein's math teacher and a friend of Tolstoy. And his name was Ivan Pannon, and he was born before the Civil War, and he passed away in 1943. We never got to meet him personally, but I personally got to speak to his secretary, who was a very young lady, maybe in her teens, when she went to work for Ivan Pannon and was his secretary. She knew him personally, carried on his work, made sure it stayed available to those that really wanted to dig into the Word of God and go beyond what all the Bible schools, all the colleges taught about the Bible. She made it available to us. Matter of fact, she sent me a copy of everything, and it fills I've got a case that I keep all these books and pamphlets and booklets in, and I've made them available to others to come and see me and copy whatever they want off of them. One thing, in just a paragraph, he had mentioned of all the findings that he had was something that I thought was monumental. And that is the fact, and you notice the New Testament starts with these four gospels, the good news. It's the story of Jesus Christ, everything surrounding him, how he came to earth, and he came as a man, came with the same body that we have, the fallen body of Adam after he had fallen into sin and lost the Holy Spirit. So this is man void of the Holy Spirit. And he took on our form, our fallen form, so he could understand exactly everything we're doing to walk in our footsteps, so he could have empathy and concern and understand exactly our feelings, our thoughts, everything that we went through, yet he conquered all. So we're not talking up to a person that is absent, that is away from us, that has never had feelings that we've had, never had desires that we've had, but yet he never fell into the trap of any one of them. He was the Lamb without spot nor blemish. This was the design of God. God knew. He looked among men and he could not find a lamb. He could not find a sacrifice. Isaac wasn't good enough, but he tested Abraham with his son Isaac, who was willing to give him up. And that's why Abraham is the father of Israel. He showed God's heart and mind. So through a man, we actually saw a godlike characteristic in Father Abraham. And Jesus actually came in the lineage of Abraham and came 14, that'd be 42 generations later. That's another story while one is missing, and we can get into that too. That's a fun thing to look at. But 42 generations later, here is Jesus, the perfect priest, even though he came as a man without sin, without fault, Lamb without spot or blemish. And these four gospels tell the same story. They begin in different places. They each have a different angle. Matter of fact, there's four different angles. Like the temple, God says, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but look at, we now can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see all the encampments around the temple. We can see Jesus and what he did from four different angles. We can see it from east, the entrance point, south, west, and north. We can see this view of Jesus and what he did for us and people's reactions. The thing is that what we are doing is looking at each one individually, and Ivan Pannon made a statement. He says, you cannot understand Mark, Luke, or John unless you first understand Matthew. It's like a stair step. You have to get to Matthew first and walk on it and understand it. You have to follow Jesus on it. This is not a normal stair step because it's a 3.5-year walk. Every book is a 3.5 minimum year period. And then it expands with the birth of Jesus. So that makes it a 33 and a half year period to some. And some even begin at the beginning, in the beginning, one of the Gospels. So it's different lengths of time. It's a different angle. It emphasizes other different points, but this point of Jesus coming and dying, which is the main focus point of the Gospels, that he dies for us, takes all of our sins to the cross, and he takes them away from us if we come and follow him. But in Matthew, we found out in the first step that we have to change our mind to be able to come and follow him. That's when he started his ministry. That the first word that is used when he starts talking is repent, because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. We found a different focus in Mark. Now we're in Luke, and we're going to look at it again, that we will not understand Luke unless we've walked on the stairway. We have gotten up on that step, and we've walked in it. And then now we've added Mark to that and walked in it through these radio shows. Maybe not completely. We could even do this again later on in our lives, and we'll find out we've missed some things that we might want to look at again too. But this is what we have done. We're now in the book of Luke, a whole different angle. It starts from a different place where Mark started with Abraham, to prove that Jesus is king, and it proved what kingdom he is of, what kind of government, the kingdom of the heavens. He's the king of the kingdom of the heavens. And then Mark has a different angle. What did Mark start at in the very beginning of Mark?
Just a minute ago, you said that Mark started as the king, and you really meant to say Matthew.
Matthew. Go ahead. Proves that Jesus is the king. You have to have a kingdom, the kingdom of the heavens. And then Mark, what did we say about Mark?
That the word immediately showed up quite a bit there, so it would be about being a servant.
But you can't become a servant, like if you go into a restaurant and you decide to work in a fancy restaurant, you can't be a servant unless you know the menu, and probably you've tasted all the items. So you can describe them to the customers. They'll probably put a sample of all of them out there. A good restaurant will put all the samples out, right? And if I used to work in a restaurant, and you know yourself, you've tasted all the goodies, and you'll be excited about it, and the customer will see that. And a servant, a waiter, should always do things. You see that they're out of water, you're putting water back in their glass, or they're ready for dessert, that you want to clear the table, put the dessert. And you cannot be a servant unless you know about the kingdom and the rules and the best way to do it. So Matthew is our training in what the kingdom of the heavens are. And so we can now serve that immediately. Over 40 times that word immediately. It's the only place that has that many times where immediate. It's all over that book of Mark. And Luke is going to have a different theme. And its genealogy actually starts with Adam. It's a proof that exactly it shows how he comes out from Adam. And there's a different emphasis. It's not exactly the same. It is in some parts, but there's a bit of a difference to show something else. And it might be talking about the mothers. I'm not going to say too much right now. It might have gone to Mary's genealogy and the priesthood. But God doesn't think like we do. He can switch. And usually when he switches, there's something important that needs to be brought out. Now, we've been doing this for many years. This is actually our first time. We're testing it with you all. This is our first time of backing up, trying to empty ourselves a bit, not getting too fancy, and walking with people and even being able to touch the unbeliever or reach the unbeliever and get them to think how the Bible is laid out and them to be able to take this walk with us. Maybe older people that are God's kids or even the unbeliever. We want to be able to slow down and also reach those that are not yet walking with the Lord and invite them to come and visit this theory of Ivan Panin's, which, what do we think? Do we like this theory, Andy?
It seems to be welcoming more than instructing. There's a lot to be said about welcoming, like in Mark, you're a servant and you're welcoming them into your restaurant. This is welcoming us, welcoming people with knowledge and information about the Bible. And many people have never read the Bible, and so this would be a softer way to start explaining it to people. Instead of coming down with a church tone, it's coming out with a Bible tone.
Also, what you're welcoming people into is God's house. Some people are in God's house in the living room or in the entry. So let's call it the entry. So some people are in the entry. Some people are outside the front door. Some people are maybe on the sidewalk. They haven't come up that path yet. They haven't sought that path out. And some are in the living room. Now, some may be in where we want to invite everybody into the dining room and kitchen to come and eat at the table of the Lord. And this is just some thoughts that we've had when we started doing this. Anybody want to add anything to that?
You know, when we were talking about this, the servant piece, something that really stands out as being in restaurants is you really do have to kind of set yourself aside. A good server will set their life aside, not kind of. They set their life aside and they're ready, like in Mark, straightway. They're immediate about things. They're ready quickly to meet the need of the person that they're serving or the family that they're serving. And so in like manner, that's us. And you can actually see that Jesus set aside what? He set aside like his godliness. He's king, right? We just went through that and looked at him, Jesus the king, and he set that aside to become a servant to show that example.
And he set aside the throne. He set aside God's presence, immediate presence.
You know, like what Andy was talking about, this whole thing is, it's showing us too what we need to be doing, setting aside ourselves and being ready to minister to the Lord's people and those who are on the outside.
Thank you for saying that. I want to get back to the main focus. Jesus set his glory aside and came to our level as a man. The focus on Luke is Jesus came as a man in the fallen image of Adam, yet without sin, the lamb without spot nor blemish, not one sin, not even a hint of one. I was noticing in the daily reading this year going through Job that Job made a covenant with his eyes not to sin. So that means hands, eyes, ears. He made a covenant.
Thinking.
Yeah. He gave 100%. And we also saw back in one of them, now we can bring this up, because back in Matthew, we found out that we are to love God. The first step was to love God in all of our heart, the whole heart, love God in all of our soul, and love God in all of our mind, just those three things. Then we went through Mark, and it shocked all of us. We'd never seen this before because we'd never slowed down enough. We always got into other things. We hadn't slowed down to this one hugely important fact that we found by going slower and going at a beginning level, that Mark says we are to love the Lord our God out of all of our hearts. So a servant has been filled. Matthew has taught us how to be filled, how to give our whole heart, not 99%, not 99.9999%, whole heart, whole soul, whole mind to God. And then it should be overflowing, and now we can serve with the overflow to the unbeliever, to the believer in need, you know, to a person coming to Christ, to a person that doesn't know Christ.
And in doing it, it added one final element, which was?
You say.
All your strength out of, it, your strength, all of a sudden, strength appears in Mark.
After we walk the whole step of Matthew.
Then strength appears in Mark, and this out appears.
Now
and strength appears.
Now you're suitable to serve. It really opened our eyes.
Andy was telling me about it yesterday, and I found it interesting too, because he didn't say all that much, but what I heard was when you guys were going through Mark, things slowed down, almost like it's calling you to pay attention, slow down and pay attention to this example of being a servant.
What's funny, I found it in a book that I maybe wrote down this diagram 10 years ago, and I saw it, and I'm going, oh, I had this in here, and we started talking about it, but I was by myself, and it wasn't uncovered until I told my friends, my very, very dear, dear friends, that we talk about these things, and all of a sudden, it exploded. It just came to light, in the light of two or three. You know, like, I could have had a V8. I could have had, you know, wherever that place was in the scriptures. But it wasn't the time to bring it out until today, apparently, or, you know, this week or whatever. It just came out. What do we say? We start with verses 5 through 23. No, pardon me, 5 through 7, and then 8 through 23.
There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest, Zacharias by name, of the course of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And both were righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were now advanced in their days.
And have you ever seen God say about both husband and wife, righteous in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord?
This is a way blameless. Short list in the Bible. If you're asking me, have you ever seen it? It's a short list. It's as short as that list right there.
Two.
Yes.
I've never seen it. That verbiage, I've never seen those words used
is,
about a couple.
This is a special couple.
Real special.
Real special. They're righteous. And they're advanced in years.
And related to Aaron the priest, how many priests did we read about in the Old Testament? They're goofballs. Well, Eli had a couple of sons that were,
yeah.
That the ark goes into the Philistines' hands because of his two kids, and he lost his life. He did not discipline those kids, and when he heard about the battle being lost and the ark taken, he fell over and broke his neck. And the temple quit being in that town, Bethel, house of God, and it went to the enemy's hands, the Philistines' hands, and then it was finally brought back under another king, David. He had it brought back, and a person lost his life bringing it back because they tried to bring it back in the wrong way on a cart, and then they brought it back the right way back to Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant. So if you can imagine God's throne being taken away from God's people, them being punished, and this was one of the priests, but Elizabeth and her husband were not this way. What else? Did anybody else see anything? They didn't have a kid. They were old. It kind of sounds like Abraham and Sarah again, doesn't it? But it sounds like it goes back to Abraham and Sarah.
It sure does. It has a story that has people that are past, they were advanced in their days, and his wife never had a child. In that regard, it's an identical.
And being righteous, you know, God's yes. chosen. Abraham walked with God. He's in the faith chapter. He obeyed the law of faith. He's a father of all of us. If you are a Jew in your heart, if you are one of God's kids in your heart, Abraham is a father. If you saw him, you'd sure be asking him a lot of questions, wouldn't you? Like you would your dad. There's nothing more. We'll go on verses 8 through 23 of Luke chapter 1.
Now it came to pass, while he ministered as priest before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot was to enter into the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people was praying without at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt name him John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great before the Lord, and shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the sons of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the fathers' hearts to children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him." And Zechariah said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife advanced in her days." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel that stand in God's presence, and I was sent to speak unto thee and bring thee these good tidings. And lo, thou shalt be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things shall come to pass, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people was waiting for Zechariah and marveled while he tarried in the sanctuary. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. And he continued making signs to them and remained dumb. And it came to pass, when the days of his ministration were fulfilled, he departed unto his house.
So what stood out to you guys about this that you saw this time?
Real simple, that there's this whole context about something that took place inside of the temple or God's house. This whole account is taking place inside of God's house.
Oh.
I don't remember reading a whole lot. There's things that go on in God's house, but this account just happens in God's house.
The sanctuary. Yeah.
The sanctuary.
Yeah. The holy place. Mm-hmm. It's called the holy place, which means without...
Meaning the ones that witnessed it are the readers now.
Yeah.
There's nobody.
Thank you for joining us. We've come to an end. You can go back over previous teachings, previous radio shows, but we'll continue on in this exact same subject. We'll continue on from here until we meet again. May God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."